Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast, a podcast where we explore God's vast love for all of us, as well as current and relevant prophetic insight to enrich your soul. Now, here is Patricia King.
I have a message that I've been praying into all week called Righteous Radicals Are Arising. I was just stirred by the Spirit of the Lord earlier in the week on this message. And then this morning, when I got up to pray more into the message, I had an encounter. And so it was at 6 o'clock this morning, I had this encounter. And so I'm going to read it to you. We'll put it up on the screen so you can follow through. I think it's a significant word. It is a prophetic word that we are going to see unfold in the coming days. And I believe that there's more to unpack in this message, but I'll give you some beginnings of it today. I was taken up into the atmosphere, looking down upon the earth. I saw a multitude of believers that covered the face of the globe. They appeared as lights, some very bright, and others so dim you could barely see their illumination. Rising up out of the earth, I saw a company of ferocious lovers of God who were uncompromised, marked by righteousness, integrity, love, and truth. They were single-minded, determined, marching forward steadfastly with unwavering faith, willing to make any sacrifice, and fully committed to obeying any command of the captain of the hosts of heaven, the King of glory himself. This company included men, women, and those of all ages and ethnos. They were glorious. These were those who were shining as bright lights. I was reminded of the heroes of faith listed in Hebrews 11, and I knew that this was an hour when God would find a people with hearts that were completely his, fully separated unto him. As they rose up out of the earth, I saw all around them those whose hearts were careless, complacent, compromised, and rebellious. These ones were mocking, scorning, and attacking the righteous remnant, but were without effect or influence upon this company of unwavering radicals. Some of this God-loving company served large spheres of influence, and others served smaller spheres. But what they had in common was their fearless, uncompromised love for God and radical obedience to his word and ways. They were unstoppable and were destined for great eternal reward. The more suffering and resistance they faced, the greater the reward. I asked, "Who are the others, Lord? Those who are not among this righteous remnant, what is their fate?" The Lord answered, "These ones have lost their focus. They have in many cases called evil good and good evil and have transgressed my word with little fear or reverence of me in their hearts. They have hardened their hearts with offense, bitterness, unforgiveness, and immoral acts. They have not hated evil as I hate evil. I love them and desire them to turn fully to me, but the choice is theirs to make. I have poured out grace upon them that enables them to follow me, but they have used my grace to empower their own lusts, desires, and ambitions instead. Some have great influence and others small, but I am not a respecter of persons, for I look at the heart. Some will repent and follow me, but there will be others who side with my enemy and will be filled with dangerous deception. They will reap what they have sown. If they sow to the flesh, they will reap corruption, but I desire all to turn and sow to the Spirit that they might reap life." Wow. So who are these righteous radicals? I believe they're in this room. I really do. I believe that we are a company of righteous radicals, and I'm excited about what that is all going to look like in these coming days. And, you know, in the Bible, we see historical accounts of righteous people, but also evil people, right? The Bible has both. It's interesting that, you know, sometimes we'll hear people say, "God would never expose a person." And I think, hello, have you read your Bible? I mean, there's a lot of exposure in there, right? A lot. And it's brutal exposure. When, you know, you see people like Ahab or Jezebel or, you know, different characters in the Bible that are turning away from God and doing their own thing, all of their evil works are displayed. And that's just, you know, part of it. And, you know, one day we all stand before the Lord and we're given reward, or, you know, we're just going to be held accountable. And so we are building with the Spirit of God. We're building history right now. You and I get to build history as his righteous radicals. We are going to be those who just are so passionate for him and so on fire for him. We are going to be those ones with fire in our eyes, and we're going to run with him, and we are going to make history. The books are still being written, and your name is in it. Your story is being written, and you are going to be amongst those that receive the great reward, because you are going to follow him with all your heart. I look at men of God in the Bible like Noah. In Genesis 6, we see that God was so sad that he even made man. He said, I'm so sorry that I made man. And because of that, he says, you know, they're so evil. They're continuously thinking evil all day long. They're doing their own thing. They're turning against me. They're turning away from me. They're just doing everything that's hurting themselves. So I'm going to judge that and clean it all up. And he did that through a flood. But he found one man, Noah. He found a man amongst them who was not like the others. And Noah and his family, they were preserved in that time. And, you know, Jesus said that the end days are going to be like the days of Noah. In other words, a people just going after their own passions, connecting to the world, just being sloppy in their lifestyles and everything. He said it's going to be just like that. But we know that he'll never destroy the world again through flood. But as we read the Bible, we see that there is an end. Noah, he endured a lot of ridicule because he was different. He was focused on something absolutely different than the others in his day. They didn't understand him, so they mocked him, they scorned him, and they were living out of an evil perspective, looking at the righteous and persecuting that righteous one. But Moses didn't flinch. He wasn't moved by their opinions. He wasn't moved by their mockery. He wasn't moved because he was a righteous radical. He was separated unto God. He's like you and me. We're passionate for the Lord, and we're going to serve the Lord with all of our hearts, no matter what anyone says. Even if it's family members coming against us, or government leaders coming against us, people in the workplace coming against us, we're just going to smile, love, and keep on serving Jesus with all of our hearts and living the way Jesus wants us to, and not coming under pressure from people to do things that we have conviction about. It's just going to be amazing. We're going to be like Noah. What about Joseph in Egypt? There's a man who was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. He was, you know, maybe shared what he shouldn't have at the time that he shared it, but he did. And his brothers got jealous, threw him into the pit, sold him into slavery. He ends up in Egypt. I mean, it's a horrible thing being rejected by your brothers. But even in that, he did not say, oh, well, I'll just take on the life of the Egyptians. No, he remained separated unto God and unto God's ways. And even when he was in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife came after him, he refused to bow to that pressure. He just wouldn't bow. And it cost him a lot. He got thrown into prison because he wouldn't bow. Why didn't he bow? Because he was a righteous radical like you and me. We're not going to bow either. But when he got into prison, he ended up having favor in prison, and he ended up kind of running the prison. God will always promote you. He will always reward you if you take a stand for him, an uncompromised stand. And so there he was, being promoted in the prison, and eventually became really the savior of his own nation and the nation of Egypt in the time of famine. Amazing. And God blessed him and his generations because he was a righteous radical like you and I. What about Jeremiah? In Jeremiah's day, the people of God en masse were doing their own thing. They were taking on idol worship. They were immoral. They were doing all kinds of nasty stuff. Jeremiah the prophet was issuing the warning so that they would turn, but they didn't turn. He had to prophesy that they would even be invaded by the army of the north, and speaking of Babylon, and they mocked him, and they ridiculed him. He had to go before the courts. He got thrown in prison at one point. I mean, he wasn't treated well, but he wouldn't compromise. He didn't compromise his message. He didn't compromise his prayers. He didn't compromise his stand. He didn't say, oh, well, everyone's against me, so I guess I'll just jump in the boat so that I can be like everyone else. Get some of this pressure off me. I feel so alone. No one's loving me. No one understands me. No, he just stood. He stood for God. He wept in his intercession. He groaned in travailed in his prayers, but he would not back down because he was a righteous radical like you and I. We're not backing down. And then there's Daniel, and I just loved your preach this morning. Oh my goodness, I was sitting there thinking, woohoo, you know, I don't even have to preach now. You're preaching it. But Daniel, come on, he was in Babylon. They'd already been sold into Babylon because of their rebellion. But Daniel and others who were righteous radicals refused to bow. They refused to bow before they went into exile. There were many who didn't bow, but they still had to go into exile because there was a critical mass of believers, of God's people, who did turn away from God. So even innocent people were affected. In this day that we're living in, even innocent people are affected by the sins of the church. But when they were in Babylon, they didn't bow. They just kept their faith. They kept their stand. And the reward came to them in Babylon. The reward of not compromising came to them in Babylon. I mean, Daniel, he gave counsel to three kings. He pretty much ruled Babylon. Because when you influence the king, you actually have more power than the king. He might speak out the final decisions, but you're the one who influenced him. And so God used Daniel in Babylon to give counsel to three kings, and he was threatened. His life was threatened. His service was threatened. You know, Daniel, if you don't bow down and worship, if you don't bow down and worship, we're going to throw you into the lion's den. Whatever. I'm not going to worship a false idol. I'm not going to refrain from worshiping the true and the living God. I'm not going to bow to the Babylonian ways. I'm not going to live the ways of the world that's around me. I'm going to live for Jesus because I am a righteous radical. That was his stand. He had this commitment to God that was uncompromised and unfailing, just like you and I. It's exciting. It's not always easy, but wow, it's exciting. Getting thrown into a lion's den, I'm sure, was pretty exciting. But he trusted God. And what about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were told, you know, if you don't bow down and worship this idol, we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And so what's your decision? They said, well, we know whom we serve. And we're not going to compromise. We're not going to go a different way because we love the one we love. And we know that if we get thrown into that furnace, our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we're not bowing. Wow. Come on. These boys are written up in history for all eternity because they were uncompromised, righteous radicals, just like you and I. They had the opportunities to stand for God in their day, and they did. And Paul, what about Paul? There he was, this religious leader who had it wrong. He used the scriptures to deny the Christ, to deny Jesus as the Messiah. He taught wrong and he led people astray, and he even issued death warrants against Christians. Now, if you were a believer in that day, wouldn't you think, well, I better go along with what he's saying? After all, he's the big, you know, religious leader. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees. I better go along. But there were believers who wouldn't go along with it because they had seen the Christ. They'd known Jesus. And no matter what pressure that Paul put on them, or Saul before he was converted, put on them, they wouldn't bow. They wouldn't bow to the religious spirit. They wouldn't bow to the lies that were coming out of the institution about Jesus. And beloved, we better not bow to some of the lies that are out there today. We're going to stay with Jesus and no other way. But then when Paul finally got converted, can you imagine what he went through? Here was a man of great visibility that a lot of the other religious leaders were actually trained under him. And he had been a respected leader in the religious community. And now he has this encounter on the road to Damascus, and everything changes. And everyone that was for him is now against him. But you see, knowing Christ was gain to him. And he didn't care what he lost. He lost his reputation, he lost his living, he lost his position, he lost probably his confidence in his academic training. All of that was lost. And we can say, oh yeah, but it's worth it, but it's not easy to have to unpack that all and have to think it all through with the Lord and realize, oh my goodness, I've been teaching error. I've been teaching heresy. I've been teaching things that aren't good, and having to admit that. But he said in Philippians 3:7, but whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss because of Christ, because he was a righteous radical. So I want to look quickly this morning at the attributes. I want to give you 10 attributes of a righteous radical. We'll see how many we get through. Maybe we'll just do a few and then some more later. But righteous radicals are true worshipers. True worshipers. In John 4:23-24, it says, but a time is coming, and even now has arrived, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Worship is more than singing a song. Worship is more than writing a song. Worship is more than leading someone else to sing songs. Worship is a heart lifestyle before God. It's an adoration before God, where you adore him over yourself, where you adore him over the things of the world or the lust of the flesh and all those things. And if you say, I'm a worshiper, but you're living like the devil, you are lying. You are not a worshiper. You can say that you're a worshiper, but heaven knows you're not a worshiper. Righteous radicals are true worshipers. And they worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. They adore him above all else. Righteous radicals are those of unwavering faith. In Mark 5:36, Jesus said to the synagogue official, do not be afraid, only believe. They're unwavering faith. They believe in what God says. In Hebrews 11:13, it says, all these died, speaking of the heroes of faith, they said, all these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen and welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. So they testified of the truth of what they knew of God, what they knew of his promises. They believed. And even though they didn't see the outcome, they believed it. They stood on it with unwavering faith. And church, we as a family, we've had to do this. We lost 3 precious friends in this last few months. This very month, we had 3 celebrations of life over those that have gone on into glory. And they were all young, too young to pass. And we have lots of questions, like what happened? But the thing that we hold on to is, number one, God, we know who you are. And we believe your promises are true. Why we didn't see those promises manifest in the way that we wanted to manifest, we don't understand that yet. We will one day. We don't understand it yet. But we will not lose our faith in you. We will continue to trust you. We continue to believe your promises. We believe in who you are. It's just like, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, you know, about the fire. You know, we know God is able to deliver us from this. And we believe he will. But even if he doesn't, he is who he is. We're going to keep our testimony. We're going to keep strong. We're going to remain in the faith. Number three, righteous radicals walk in their new Christ nature and have crucified the old. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that we are new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. You are a miracle. You have a miracle life inside of you that wants to leap out and live. That miracle life, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have this life that is exactly like Jesus' life inside of you. And that life is a righteous, radical life. And you can be filled with that life when you believe in who you are. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we're seeing that old life and the life of the world that I used to hang out with, that life is on the cross. That life is gone. I call it crucified. I'm not interested in that anymore. It's dead. Why would I want to drag around a dead life? If there is such a thing, how can you be dead and life at the same time? I've been crucified with Christ. Romans 6, 2-7. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For the one who has died is freed from sin. See, when you reckon yourself dead to sin, you don't then go live in it and say, oh, I'm free as a Christian to live in sin. That is the most stupidest thing. It doesn't make any sense at all. How can you live in sin when you're dead to sin? If you are living in sin, you're not dead to it. Just saying. Number four, a righteous radical lives for Christ. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He's the reason. He's our future. He's our hope. He's our dreams. He's our expectations. He's everything. And to live is for him. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Everything we do is for him, because we're righteous radicals. Number five, we're willing to die for Christ and his gospel. In Matthew 16:25, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when they faced death. We might face some horrific things in the days ahead. We might face some real hardships for our faith. And it might even be possible that in our life, we might have to lay down our life for the gospel. And a righteous radical has no problems doing that. I remember watching on the news a few years ago when there was a whole row of Ethiopians who were being killed for their faith. There was terrorists that were lined them all up and shot them. It was on camera. but there was so much peace on them and so much determination on them. There was no fear in their eyes. You could just look right on their faces. There was no fear. There was only honor. Now, I'm not saying any of us in this room are going to have to face it, but are we willing to? Because if we're a righteous radical, we would be willing to. Righteous radicals are obedient. In Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. In 1 Peter 1:13 to 16, it says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Number 7, righteous radicals are filled with the Spirit and with power. In Acts 1:8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and as far as the remotest parts of the earth. I tell you, church, we're going to rise up in power. It's not an option. When you read through the Gospels, you will see Jesus teaching his disciples to go lay hands on the sick and they will recover. There isn't a Sunday that goes by, right, Carl, that we don't have miracles here. There's people saved every single, or healed every single week. There's people saved. Every month through this ministry, we see people saved. That is the power of the gospel. There are people delivered. People delivered through the Mashah training, right, Victoria? We see so many people set free from things that were binding them in the past, because that's the power of the gospel. That's the goodness of the gospel. And we're going after resurrection. I don't know about you, but I'm just mad. I'm going after resurrection. Because righteous radicals are filled with the Spirit and with power. The early church wasn't a weak church. I love Ben and Jody. They're out on the road a lot, so I get a lot of texts back and forth and asking them how they're doing. And it's always, yes, yeah, so many people got saved. A whole bunch of people got healed. People were delivered in the meetings. It's just like normal Christianity, right? Number 8, righteous radicals embrace the word as their plumb line. They're uncompromised. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:60, the sum of your word, O Lord, is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments is everlasting. John 17:17, sanctify them in truth, for your word is truth. And I just want to encourage you, read your Bible every day. Read your Bible. If you were just only to read about 4 chapters a day, you could read through your Bible every year. You just start in one book at a time, start in the beginning and read all the way through. Then go on to another one, another one. I like marking my little chapters with a little dot because it just feels good looking through your Bible to see all the dots. That's how I can tell if I read that chapter or not. But it just feeds you. Every time you read your Bible, just keep reading it until God speaks to you. It's so good. Number 9. Righteous radicals are motivated by love, love for God, his people, and the lost. In Matthew 22:26-40, we see the two great commandments. The first one being to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, mind, and strength, and then to love others as ourselves. And then number 10, righteous radicals, they walk in wisdom from above. We're wise. In James 3:17-18, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, free of hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's wisdom from above. Wisdom. Wisdom from God that will instruct us and lead us and keep us. We're just a company of righteous radicals. And if you come into this house and you think, well, I want to, you know, just serve God a little bit, maybe on a Sunday or something, but the rest of the week, I just want to live like the devil, then this is not the house for you. There are others that would welcome you. But in this house, we have a different standard. If you are not wanting to be, you might not fully manifest it yet, but if you don't want to be a righteous radical, you're not going to be comfortable here. Yeah, that's right. Because there's no toleration for the things that will take you down. We're not going to sit back as leaders and say, oh, you want to go out and sin and ruin your life? Okay, bless you. We'll just let that happen and won't even speak into it. We'll just let you destroy yourself. We don't care. No, that's not who we are. We're righteous radicals that really care about you. And we really care about the church in the last days rising up. I want to be in that vision that I saw this morning as that company of believers that was just going for it. But you know what? It was a fairly small remnant. It was a fairly small remnant. And I would rather run with a few in a group of people who were just crazy in love with Jesus and completely committed than being immersed in a bunch of people who would just live the devil's agenda. I just know who I am. Do you know who you are? You're a righteous radical. That's who you are. And if you're not yet, I hope after this message you'll want to be. Because all you have to do is just say yes. Are young people in the school system the way it is right now? Wow. Talk about Daniel and Babylon. There is a lot to overcome. The philosophies of today, the values of today, are absolutely those that oppose our Christian faith. Absolutely. And our young people, day by day, is like going like little lambs led to the slaughter. They have to know who they are. They could stand up in the midst of that and say, no, I'm a righteous radical. And I'll tell you, you should hear some of the testimonies of our kids who are doing just that. They're standing up in a day and hour that is so, so difficult, but they know who they are. They're a righteous radical. And they don't care about the shame. They don't care about the mockery, the slander. They just are crazy in love with Jesus and aren't afraid to take a stand for him because they know who they are. So church, that's who we are. When I say, who are these righteous radicals? Can you say, that's me? I can feel it. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I guess I just want to tell you who you are this morning. Because you're amazing. And we're going to just labor to see more and more righteous radicals raised up. Uncompromised believers who aren't fooling around with the vices of the world and the flesh. No way. We're going to go 100% for God. We're going to be a people that are full of love. We're not going to give ourselves to offense and bitterness, unbelief, unforgiveness, all those things that clog up the pipes and that disqualify us from being righteous radicals. No way. We're going to deal with those things. We're going to rise up strong, and we're going to be everything that God called us to be. Why? Because we can. Amen. If you want to take a stand for the Lord in this hour as a righteous radical, and don't feel any pressure, you know, just examine your heart. If you really want to be in that number of righteous radicals, I want you to stand because I'm going to pray a blessing over you. We're going to see God touch your life in a powerful way. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, you see these ones standing, even those that are watching online, Lord God, that they're standing for you. These are the ones that are saying, Lord, you mean everything to us. These are your righteous radicals. This is your remnant who love you with all their heart in the midst of a very dark day. And there might be some of you that in this room or watching online right now that you think, you know, I haven't been living my life for Jesus like I should. I've got so much mixture in my life. I've got so much junk in my life. I've got even people in my life that are confusing me and that are taking me down. And today, I want to make a change. Today, I just want to come before God and get aligned. And He's here for you. He's here for you right now. Just give God your yes. Say, God, I just need you. And you might be here today, or you might be watching online, and maybe you have never asked Jesus to come into your life. So how could you be a righteous radical if you don't even have Jesus in your heart? Because He is the righteousness. And when He comes in, He changes your identity. He forgives all your sin. He gives you a brand new life. He gives you a brand new beginning, a brand new start. And I can feel in my spirit that there's some of you who really, really want this and really, really need this. And if you're watching online right now, and that's you, I want you to write in the comment section, I need Jesus. Write in that comment section, I need Jesus. And we're going to pray and Jesus will come into your heart. And if you are in this room right now and you're saying, God, I just need you. I need a new beginning. I need my life straightened out. It's all confused. It's all messed up. I'm hurting and confused. I need a new life. You just say, Jesus, I need you. And I'm going to pray. And I want every one of you who is feeling that desire for Jesus to come fill your heart. I tell you, when He comes in, we're going to pray. And when He comes into your heart, you become a brand new person. That righteous, radical being lives on the inside of you. It's a miracle. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to prove yourself for it. It's just He comes in with that quality of life. So follow me in prayer. We can all follow in this prayer right now. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I ask you now to be my Lord and Savior, to come into my heart, to forgive me of all unrighteousness, and to fill me with your life. Thank you, Lord, that you have written my name in your book of life. I belong to you now. You are my God. Come on, let's give the Lord a big shout. So good. So good.
For more information, resources, episodes, and more, connect with us at patriciakingministries.com.